Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, I Stand by the Door.
Our scripture lesson is from Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 792. Jesus said, Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
And our second lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 28. This is the great commission of our Lord. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have instructed you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And let us pray. Lord, we do give you thanks for the privilege of worship this day, the opportunity to gather in this place among this people. We give you thanks for the opportunity to lift our voices in prayer and praise, to bow now beneath the teaching of your word. We would pray, O Lord, that the words of my mouth, that the meditations of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight. For it is through Christ our Lord we pray it. Amen. Last week, if you were with us, I shared a message based on the beautiful passage from John's Revelation where the risen Lord says, Listen, I'm standing knocking, and if you open the door and allow me to come in, I will come in and we will eat together, you with me and I with you. As an illustration, I used a reference to Holman Hunt's famous painting, The Light of the World, familiar, I know, to many of us. Well, this past week, one of our TAB members, Tara Seidel, came up to me and said that she just went to visit this famous painting of Holman Hunt's when she was in Oxford, England, at the university. She said she went into the chapel where the painting now hangs, and as she entered the room, the chapel door closed behind her and locked. So while Jesus stands knocking, let me in, Tara stood on the door pounding, let me out. Not exactly the takeaway I was hoping from last week's sermon, but a beautiful story. The image of Jesus knocking is this invitation to faith and discipleship which Christ extends to each one of us. It's an invitation to enter into a personal, life-enhancing, life-changing, life-enriching relationship with God by faith in Jesus Christ, his Son. If you were with us, the focus of last week's message was that faith is a decision we must make, each of us individually, in response to Jesus' invitation. It doesn't happen to us by chance. It's not a birthright that is given to us. It's not something that someone can give to us or do for us. Rather, this opening of the door of our hearts is the necessary and deliberate act on our part of simply saying yes to the invitation which Christ gives to each of us. And unless and until we do that, there is really no way we can rightly say, I am Christian. I am a follower of Jesus. However, you may also remember me saying that this is only the first of two points I was wanting to make last week. We didn't even get to the second. So the title of that sermon was, I Stand at the Door. Today, I'd like for us to think about, I Stand by the Door. And we reflect upon the importance of our role in the work of the kingdom as we share this good news with others. As we read through the Gospels, I believe that Jesus' entire mission and ministry can really be bookmarked, front-ended and rear-ended with two words, come and go, an invitation and a commission. At the beginning of the Gospels, we hear Jesus say, come, follow me, come, All you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then the Gospels close with Jesus' great commission, go. Go and make disciples. Go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The invitation of Christ to come is only the first step in a lifelong journey of faith. And once we have come to him, then we almost immediately hear this commission then to go out and share that good news with others. Oswald Chambers, one of my favorite devotional writers, writes, "If you abandon to Jesus and come when Jesus says come, he will continue to say come to others through you. You will go out into life reproducing the echo of Christ's come. That is the result of every soul that has abandoned and come to Jesus." This is a ministry of invitation, of evangelism, to which Christ has called each and every one of us who call ourselves his followers. The first step of responding and entering into that personal relationship with Christ is essential. We can't give to anyone else something that we haven't first received for ourselves. But the second step is also critical. We must share what we have found with others so that they too may come to hear and believe this great good news, that they too may enter into this abundant life which we enjoy in Christ. However, it's terribly unfortunate that the word evangelism has taken on such a negative connotation for so many. It conjures up images of manipulation and coercion and browbeating, when in truth it means to share good news. Friends, how is it that we have allowed the good news of Jesus? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Come and you will find rest for your souls. Come, you beloved of God. How is it that we have taken the words of invitation of Jesus and have made them somehow sound judgmental or condemning or even damning of others? I have found in talking with people that the real rub, the real difficulty that most people have with evangelism is not in what it is, but in how it's done. We use our negative reactions to what we see other people doing as an excuse not to find our own way to do this vital ministry of invitation ourselves. I've always loved the story of the day that a woman approached the famed evangelist D.L. Moody and said to him, "I don't like the way you do evangelism." Without taking offense, Dr. Moody said, "Well, tell me, madam, how do you do evangelism?" And she said, "Well, I don't do evangelism." To which he responded, "Then I like the way I do evangelism better than the way you don't do evangelism." Friends, rather than rejecting either the word or the task as not being to our liking, we need instead to reconstruct a way that we can naturally and effectively share our faith with a people and a culture that desperately needs to hear it. Rather than debating it, we simply need to go out and do it. Look again at the model Jesus gives to us. He does it consistently throughout the Gospels. He simply invites people, men, women, children, self-righteous Pharisees, and notorious sinners. He simply says, "Come to me, follow me, walk alongside me." He does nothing more and nothing less. He stands at the door knocking, not pounding, not shouting, not demanding that we let him in, but simply, patiently, consistently knocking, asking, inviting. Shouldn't then this be our model of the way we share faith with others? If we believe that genuine faith consists in entering into a personal relationship with Christ, that it's not simply a matter of repeating certain truths or saying a certain prayer, then it would seem natural that our ministry of evangelism should be consisted of simply building relationships and friendships with others in Jesus' name. I've always loved the story of the man who, when asked how he came to faith, said, "Well, a friend of mine built a bridge of friendship to me, and Jesus crossed over." Friends, that's a ministry that's been given not just to pastors, and certainly not to just a committee of the church, but to each and every one of us who walk with him. There are people that you know that I will never know. There are people with whom you have conversation all the time that will never hear the sound of my voice. I will even go so far as to say there are people that only you can reach with the love of Jesus Christ. The Great Commission, go and make disciples, is more accurately translated, go and in your going, make disciples. So as you go and live your life, as you go back home or back to the office or to school or to your places of enjoyment, be about the business of building bridges of friendship so that Jesus can walk over. You know, it used to be that everyone we knew was a Christian. They had a church home, whether they attended regularly or not. Well, things have changed. Recent studies have shown that 75% of Americans still consider themselves Christian, which sounds wonderful, except 8 years ago, it was 80% of people. 20% of Americans right now are saying they have no religious affiliation. Well, that's the growing trend in our culture. 40% say that they go to church every week. In reality, only 20% actually do. All of this is to say the fields are indeed white for the harvest. I recently heard a pastor ask, "What does the average non-churched person in our culture think about the church?" And that's just it. The average non-churched person in our culture does not think about the church. They think we are irrelevant. So friends, we've got our work cut out for us. And it's not for the sake of the church. I have no concerns about the church. It's for the sake of Christ and his kingdom and for all those who do not yet know him. So let me encourage you this morning to think about one person who is cut off from Christ, not in a relationship with the body of Christ, his church. And I'm not asking you to think about them judgmentally. I'm asking you to think about them lovingly, in the most caring way you possibly can. And as you consider that person, ask yourself, what could I do to build a bridge of friendship to that person that might allow Christ to walk over? And you don't have to do it in any prescribed way. I'm not asking you to think of certain words you should say or slogans you should use or a program that you once studied. You see, each of your relationships with your friends is as distinct and unique and individual as are each of you and each of us and each of those relationships. So build bridges of friendship that invite Christ into them. And where do we go to do that kind of ministry of invitation? Well, it's not in here, but it is out there. You see, we do our discipling as we go. So take this the way it's intended, but there's always a real danger to us spiritually if we spend too much time in here. No, we need to be out there, living, witnessing, bearing witness in our going to who Christ is for us. Years ago, Dr. Samuel Shoemaker, the pastor who helped co-found the AA movement, wrote a piece which speaks beautifully of the where of our ministry of invitation. It's an extended piece, but I just love it. And I couldn't do it justice if I cut it. So listen to this piece in its entirety. It's titled, "I Stand by the Door." I stand by the door. I neither go too far in nor stay too far out. The door is the most important door in the world. It is the door through which women and men walk when they find God. There's no use my going way inside and staying there when so many are still outside, and they, as much as I, crave to know where the door is. And all that so many ever find is only the wall where a door ought to be. They creep along the wall like blind beggars with outstretched and groping hands, feeling for a door, knowing there must be a door, and yet they never find it. So I stand by the door. The most tremendous thing in the world is for women and men to find that door, the door to God. The most important thing anyone can do is to take hold of one of those blind, groping hands and put it on the latch that only clicks and opens to the seeker's touch. People die outside that door, as starving beggars die on cold nights in cruel cities in the dead of winter. They die for want of what is within their grasp. They live on the other side of it, live because they have not found it. Nothing else matters compared to helping them find it, to open the door and walk in and find him. And so I stand by the door. Go in, great saints. Go all the way in. Go way down into the cavernous cellars and go way up into the spacious attics. It is a vast, roomy house, this house of God. Go into the deepest of hidden casements, of withdrawal, of silence, of sainthood. Some must inhabit those inner rooms and know the depths and heights of God and call outside to the rest of us how wonderful it is. Sometimes I take a deeper look in. Sometimes I venture in a little farther. But my place seems closer to the opening, so I stand by the door. There's another reason why I stand there. Some people get partway in and become afraid lest God and the zeal of his house devour them. For God is so very great and asks all of us. And these people feel a cosmic claustrophobia and want to get out. Let me out, they cry. And people way inside only terrify them more. Somebody must be by the door to tell them that they are now spoiled for the old life. They've seen too much. Once taste God and nothing but God will do anymore. Somebody must be watching for the frightened who seek to sneak out just where they came in, to tell them how much better it is inside. The people too far in do not see how near these are to leaving, preoccupied as they are with the wonder of it all. Somebody must watch for those who have entered the door but would like to run away, and so for them too, I stand by the door. I admire the people who go way in, but I wish they would not forget how it was before they got in. Then they would be able to help the people who have not yet even found the door, or the people who want to run away from God again. You can go in too deeply or stay in too long and forget the people outside the door. As for me, I shall take my old accustomed place, near enough to God to hear him and to know he is there, but not so far from others as not to hear them and remember that they are there too. Where? Outside the door. Thousands of them. Millions of them. But more important for me, one of them, two of them, 10 of them, whose hands I am intended to put to the latch. And so I stand by the door and wait for those who seek it. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. So I stand by the door. Friends, for the past 165 years, our ancestors in the faith have stood by the doors we belovedly call tab. And now it's our turn. It is our tour of duty. We have been called to stand by the door, close enough to hear the voice of God and know his presence, but not so far in as to forget that there are still others outside. Thousands of them, millions of them, but more important for us, one of them, two of them, 10 of them, whose hands we are intended to put onto the latch which opens the door. Individuals to whom we are called to build bridges of friendship that Christ may walk over. Friends, that's the good news, this day and always. And let us pray. Gracious God, may this be our invitation to all who pass our doors here at 34th and Central. To all who are weary and need rest, to all who are lonely and need companionship, to all who mourn and seek comfort, to all who are lost and need to be welcomed home, to all who sin and need a Savior, and to whosoever will come, may this church open wide its doors. In, through, and for the sake of Christ, we pray it. Lord, hear our prayer.